It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, this is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark, with me as, let's say, 87%.
It went down a little.
It went down. Yeah, we had some Skype calls. Yeah. First of all, speaking of Skype calls, want to thank Fabian Nicieza again
for coming
on the show. It was a great conversation. He talked to us right before like the blizzard hit.
Yeah.
Blizzard was hitting as he was there. Got a lot of attention, obviously, because of this Deadpool movie that's come out. A lot of new people checking in, so thank you. If you decided to come back to hear us talk about the movie, welcome.
Yes.
But it was really great. It was really exciting to talk to him, too.
Yeah, it was interesting. I saw some stuff online. I guess there was, like, people were trying to, like, kick off or start, like, a Twitter war between him and Rob Liefeld.
Well,
like, a dispute over who really created Deadpool.
Well, what happened was, the day we put out the podcast, the New York Times ran an article about Deadpool. They did not interview Fabian. They interviewed Liefeld. And Liefeld said his quotes were taken out of context of saying that I basically created him and it really doesn't matter who wrote him because I drew him and I put him in the book.
Yeah.
And apparently Fabian and Liefeld had a talk. They were at the premiere together.
Right.
And Fabian was kind of dispelling that. So
yeah.
So it was also
was it like the New York Times did like a smear piece on
that's
Liefeld.
What they said. Yeah. Yeah. And I looked at the article. I didn't read it in depth. But it was nice that we had an hour of conversation of Fabian himself saying, this is what Rob did, this is what I did, and that's how that episode begins. Again, if you haven't gotten to that episode yet, go back. It was last week, so it's up on iTunes, it's up on Stitcher.
And you should listen to that before you listen to this episode, I'd say. Because we're going to talk about the Deadpool movie.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll draw comparisons to the comic. But let's get into this. I am so excited to talk about this, because our tradition, if you've listened to any of our movie reviews, Steven and I never talk to each other about the movie before we sit down and record.
Yeah.
Steven has a long history of hating this character and saw this movie today.
Yeah.
So I like this character casually. I'm not super into Deadpool. There are people that are amazingly into Deadpool that like cosplay and they've read every run and they have all the figures.
Yeah.
There are runs I like, there are runs I haven't liked. He's not in my top five. I'll go first. I loved this movie. I completely loved it. Now you go.
I liked it.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
This is like a little.
That's probably as much as you could possibly give it.
That yeah. All right. I don't like the character Deadpool.
You don't like the 90s number one.
I like Avengers in the 90s.
Which makes no sense.
Because
that
you know,
was bottom of the basement Marvel.
But they were in jackets and they look cool and it's...
The X-Men were in the same jackets at the same time.
Yeah, the X-Men suck. All right, so Deadpool is a shitty character. And if you really do like him, that's fine. It's America. You can like whoever you want. But he's really a dumb character. It's weird to see him in a movie because it's like... Wonder Woman hasn't had a movie yet, and here's like a Deadpool movie. So it's really weird to see him in a movie on like a big screen and like the title character and all that stuff. And it's one of those where I get it. I get why he's popular. It makes sense. Unfortunately, that's like the world we live in where that's the character people want to. That's the really popular guy. And it's cool that they made like a movie that's true to what that character became, not what Liefeld originally created.
Well, that's the interesting thing about Deadpool is that's why I want to do a rebuttal about you saying he's a shitty character. He's a very thin character, but what makes Deadpool interesting was over the years, there's been a lot of different creative teams on them,
yeah.
on him, and I think each one has added another layer to him. Where now I think he is an interesting character.
Yeah, I think now he's it's like he's filling a slot for a type of character that didn't exist before. But right. in his and original incarnation, the original Reed New Mutants 98 or whatever it is, I've some knucklehead at the store gave me one. It's like
I used to own it.
I have one. I'd give it to you if it wasn't a gift to me as like a gag.
No, I have it reprinted now. So terrible. I don't need the original. He just shows up for like 8 pages, fights Cable, and disappears.
And he's just a mercenary. So it's like in his original incarnation, he's a straight up ripoff of Deathstroke the Terminator, a DC villain. That's basically what he was ripped off of. Then it was a bunch of other artists and writers, not Rob Liefeld, that came in and made that character as he is today.
Right. I think the most influential is Joe Kelly and Ed McGuinness, who are right now reuniting on a Spider-Man Deadpool series.
A team-up book, yeah.
Which I love.
And sold out every issue at every store.
Yeah, I got the second print from you, and it sold out, so I added it to my pull list. But yeah, each one of them kind of deepened the humor, and Fabian was saying on our show last week that the reason he was an immediate hit was that everything in X-Force was ultra, ultra serious.
Yeah.
And he was the only character with any kind of sense of humor, so people gravitated to him. So because he had a sense of humor in the way someone like Joker or Spider-Man or Harley Quinn has, each writer that came on, they would hire funny writers.
Yeah.
I mean, the second guy who ever wrote Deadpool was Mark Waid. Mark Waid's really funny.
Yeah.
Mark Waid actually did stand up for a little while.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did. He said very, very briefly.
Yeah.
But he's a really funny writer. He came out on next. Now, Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly's hilarious. And each one, Brian Posehn is writing Deadpool now. And he is a comedian. This is the only comic work he's done. And each one of them has kind of had a different take and added layers to it.
Right.
And Ryan Reynolds is really funny.
Yeah, it was, you know, and that's kind of like the stuff that's really good about the movie is the breaking the fourth wall, poking fun at itself, all the in-jokes.
The in-jokes were really perfect. They could have so easily gotten overdone.
Yeah.
And they were so great. There were a couple I missed. I went to see it with Renee last night, and she completely missed my favorite joke was when Colossus says to him, I'm going to take you to the professor, and he says, Stewart or McAvoy?
Yeah, that was great. The one line, and I didn't think of this, Carmelo did. We went to see the movie today. And there's a point in the movie where, like, Deadpool swears and Colossus says, hey, there's a kid here pointing at Negasonic Teenage Warhead, which I believe is a Grant Morrison character.
Yeah, it's a Grant Morrison character. It's also the title of a Monster Magnet song.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, which I think is where Grant got it, because I'm pretty sure they wrote the song before
a great name either way.
Yes.
But Colossus says, hey, watch your language, there's a kid here. And then they missed an opportunity. Deadpool said, what are you doing bringing a kid to this movie? Because that was probably my favorite thing about the movie was being in a theater with a bunch of kids, because I saw this like 3 in the afternoon.
There were a lot of kids in the theater and, where I saw it. I saw it at Hollywood Boulevard last night.
Yeah. And
at 8 o'clock.
Ridiculous amounts of masturbation, dick, sex jokes, plenty of nudity. I mean, tits there. You could see Deadpool's cancer dick swinging around. It was like,
yeah, there's sex scenes in it.
Sex scenes.
This movie does everything an R-rated movie does, and Ben really, really wants to see it because he's seen Deadpool in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yep.
He saw the Hulk versus Wolverine animated movie, and he loves the character. He thinks he's really funny. He plays with the action figures. And I said, look, you can't go. It's R. And then I kept thinking about it. I'm like, well, you know, Army of Darkness is R. And we ended up watching that because it's mostly cursing.
Yeah.
And there's blood. And it's like, it's really a PG-13 movie. If it's like that, and we were talking about we were talking about the controversy a couple weeks ago, and it was on last week's show of, could they do a PG-13 cut? And Elliot Serrano, who's on the show a lot.
Yeah.
And I was thinking it would be really funny if they released a PG-13 cut with black bars on stuff and bleeps all over it. And then when I saw this thing, I'm like, there's no way
it's not possible.
Do that. If I let Ben see this movie, well, then I could let him see any rated R movie
that's ever been made.
It's so R.
And I think that's the point. One of the guys that shops at the store works at a movie theater, and he was saying that their management team sent emails out to all the managers and everything to tell the employees that not only do they have to card every person who buys a ticket to the movie, they have to explain to everyone who's buying tickets with their kids that it is a hard R. It's not like rated R for just violence. There's like I said, they talk about drugs. I mean, it's like, it's right, as R in the movies you can get.
You can get a rated R just by saying fuck a couple of times.
Yeah. And I mean, this is R for every reason across the board that you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, they said, T.J. Miller said in the press this week that they had to cut it down to make it an R, and that the Blu-ray might be NC-17.
That's incredible. And that's just something like, you know, I don't really go for like gratuitous gore and violence. And he's like, I mean, he's like, there's blood everywhere. He's like cutting dudes' heads off.
Yeah,
and, like,
pieces of people.
There's like flying meat, you know, from humans. It's like a lot of that stuff I like to see. And then like him and his girlfriend exchange a lot of like really dirty, like fucked up childhood stories to like one up each other. And it's like, it's supposed to be humorous and funny, but it's like, it's like pretty, I don't really need to hear this kind of shit, you know? So it's like, but, and that's the problem for me with the character is like, you know, that we need a character like that. You know, Stan Lee has a cameo in a strip club.
Yeah, I was shocked to see Stan Lee in this.
Yeah, and I
don't
know.
Because he's not in every one of them. He's in every Marvel Studios one.
Yeah.
But he's not always in the X-Men movies. I mean,
I guess he wasn't in Days of Future Past, right?
No, and I watched Wolverine Origins this morning again because that was the only other time Ryan Reynolds was played Deadpool.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting because you can see him trying to do in that movie what he does in this movie, and you can see they don't let him.
Yeah.
You know, to the point where, you know, they sew his mouth shut and give him Cyclops optic blasts.
Yeah, which is funny that, like, the amount of jokes they laid into this movie about...
They show the action figure.
Yeah, they, like, make fun of the Wolverine Origins, the repeated references to Hugh Jackman. He calls out his own Ryan Reynolds. He makes fun of Green Lantern. Yep. It's like, they did a really good job of being as like playful with this movie as they could have been. Like I'm actually astonished that this was a Fox Studios movie for how like good it was versus like the normal like train of garbage they have come out every year.
Well, it seemed like they just got out of the way because you know the story, and I'm sure most people listening is Deadpool was supposed to come out right after Wolverine Origins. That's why Ryan Reynolds had a small part in it. It was supposed to kind of tee up the Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
And then we were also supposed to get a Magneto movie. The plan was to do origin movies for everybody.
Yeah.
Wolverine Origins tanked.
Yep.
So then...
And then the Magneto movie became First Class.
Right. And it was like, let's just turn the Magneto movie into an X-Men reboot and try to get that back on track. And then Deadpool was basically canceled.
Yeah.
And then the script leaked, and people loved the script. Ryan Reynolds makes Green Lantern. Green Lantern bombs. Ryan Reynolds realizes, if I don't get this Deadpool movie out, that's kind of it for me on this level. Like,
yeah.
He's not doing romantic comedies anymore because now he's in his mid to late 40s.
Right.
People don't want to see him make out with Sandra Bullock. And that's kind of been the other side of his career.
Right.
So he's known all the way around that this is his last chance and he wanted to make it as good as he could. And then 2 years ago, right around the time of San Diego, that test footage, the CG footage leaked. And that's when everybody went crazy. And I believe we talked about it on the show that week.
Yeah.
And people went nuts, and to the point where Fox was like, all right, you can make it. But it's not a big budget movie. And in fact, at the last minute, they cut $7 million out of the movie.
They cut $7 million of filmed material out of the movie, or
no,
they cut the budget by $7 million?
They cut the budget by $7 million, wow. And they had to rewrite the script to match that, or Fox was not going to do it. So there were supposed to be like a few more big action sequences that didn't happen.
Which is, I mean, the movie is, as far as like an action movie, I mean, whoever choreographed the fights, the way that the camera moves around that car in the opening scene and all that stuff was really, really, really well done. And that's like, it blows my mind that they cut that much from the movie and it was still as good as it was. I mean, this was like an action movie on par with pretty much any movie, I think, at least all the other X-Men movies, I'd say.
Yeah, I would say it cost $58 million, which is more than I thought. I thought they'd cut it down to like 30. But I'd say it was definitely on par with some of the rated R lower budget movies recently that have been great. It reminded me a lot of like Dread, which I loved. You know, and Dread was not a big budget movie.
Yeah.
And but the action was fantastic. And
phenomenal.
Reminded me of John Wick in some ways, which didn't look like it cost a lot. So you can make these action movies without blowing the budget.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a great joke in it was Renee's favorite joke in the movie when he goes to the Professor Xavier's mansion and Negasonic Teenage Warhead opens the door and he goes, it's a big house and I only ever see the two of you. It's like the studio wouldn't pay to have any more X-Men in this movie.
Yeah.
And they said that Negasonic Teenage Warhead was supposed to be like three different
characters.
Mutants. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that was part of the budget cut of like, all right, you're going to get Colossus.
Yeah.
Which I think was an inspired choice because Colossus is a major character who's been in the other X-Men movies, but they haven't really done anything with him.
Yeah, and he was probably the weakest part of this movie, I think. He was, I don't know, really kind of bland, and he looked decent. He didn't look great.
He looked cartoony, but I think they were going for that.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he never...
Ever was a human?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is great, because like there's a scene of him just eating breakfast in the X-Mansion, and he's completely made out of steel.
Yeah.
Or when they're in the cab, he's all hunched over drinking a soda. It's like, if you change down a human, you lose
You'd be
like
a regular-sized fella.
But they just did.
And I think that's something where it's like, all right, maybe that was them trying to be like, haha, look, it's so funny because he's a big metal guy and nobody seems to care. And it's like, yeah, but... Maybe that was like $1 million out of your budget that you could have just had him be a regular guy and then iron or metal up for the fight.
But I guess maybe you had to cast somebody that looked like Colossus, and it chances are that you just had some stuntman in a motion capture suit, and then I believe the guy doing the voice did not do the motion capture.
Probably two different guys.
Like
yeah.
he just did a voice act, and maybe he doesn't look anything like Colossus. So right. it's just like, ah, I can get whoever can do a Boris Badenoff Russian accent.
I just it's like you couldn't find one giant Russian guy. I mean, like, what are the odds? You can't find one giant Russian guy
who
can speak broken English.
Yeah, you know what?
Go to a dock in, you know, Moscow and grab the first guy you see. Well, how hard could it be?
But think of the Colossuses we got in X-Men 2, X-Men 3, and I believe was Colossus. Colossus was in Days of Future Past too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
None of those guys were funny. So it's possible that wouldn't have been as good. That was also the first Colossus where you could see all the lines, the broken lines on in his armor, which is what makes Colossus. I think X-Men 2, he looks like the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, and I never really liked that. They did that in Ultimates where he just kind of turns into like a metal guy, and it's like, well, he's supposed to have like the little lines.
That's what makes him Colossus.
Yeah, that's why he looks so cool.
Yeah. Otherwise, he's the Silver Surfer with hair.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
No. So, yeah, it was good, and it sucks that like, they're going to be like, make a second one. It's going to have fucking Cable in it.
Yes, that... I love that so much because that's been the rumor that they would do Cable and Deadpool. And I knew you'd hate it.
Yeah.
In fact, Toy Fair is this weekend and there's new Cable... That Cable and Deadpool are going to be in the next set of Marvel Legends figures, and that irritated you.
Yeah, and it's like frustrating because then that means like Marvel's going to push Cable down our throats for the next year and a half. And it's like, fuck. And well, that's like, it just...
But I also love the way they did it was they, obviously we're well into spoilers, but at the very end, the extra scene at the end is a riff on Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
And he just goes, yeah, we're going to have Cable in the next one. We can't afford to show you one. We don't have a guy, but he's totally going to be in this movie. And first of all, I thought that was brilliant in the same way that the opening credits were brilliant, where it said, directed by some overrated hack.
Yeah.
Starring God's Gift to Women, and no names were actually in it. I love that, and I also thought about your reaction and how much you were going to be like, fuck you, movie.
Yeah, and it's like... And that's the problem with it is like I can't say I didn't like it. That's probably the worst thing about it is that I can't be like, oh, it sucked, because it wasn't my kind of movie. Like I said, I don't go for like grotesque like violence and this sadistic like chop a bunch of people up, fire a bunch of guns through people's brains. It's like, but it was good. It's like that's just like so frustrating.
Well, that shows how good this movie is, because if there was anybody that was going to hate it, it would have been you.
Yeah.
Because you would have been making a face anytime we talked about like that the trailer was out, that this was announced. Like you were always just kind of like screw this movie.
Yeah, and it's like it's the thing, it's like you don't wanna like it. I'm not going to read Deadpool comics now. I'm not going to suddenly be like, yeah, he's a cool character. It's like, he's still a dumb character. But the movie, it's like, it's kind of like when you said, like, you took Renee to go see Watchmen. And then she's like, oh, okay, I get it. I don't have to read the book. And it's like, you know, I get it. I get why he's a popular thing. I got that before the movie. But, like, the movie was a very well-done version of a dumb thing.
Well, I had the same reaction. As I said, I like Deadpool more than you do. I think my first exposure to Deadpool was when that first Toy Biz figure came out, because that I was just getting back into X-Men, and the X-Force line had just come out on top of it, and I didn't know who any of them were, but they were $5. So I was just grabbing them all up, and the guy appealed to me because he
looks like Spider-Man.
He looks like Spider-Man with a bunch of weapons.
Yeah,
so I'm like, well, who's this guy? What is it? And I didn't even know his powers. And then And then, like, he popped up in X-Force in the next issue. And I'm like, oh, this guy's interesting. And then I read that first limited series that Fabian Nicieza did with Joe Madureira. It was the first work that Joe Madureira did for Marvel. And I really liked that. And then Mark Waid did it. And then I was into it. And I was really into that Joe Kelly run. I was so excited about this movie yesterday because it was getting good reviews that I was on InStockTrades.com and Amazon going like, hey, what are the other Deadpool omnibuses? Because I have the omnibus of Joe Kelly and Ed McGuinness.
Yeah.
And there are like three or four because Cable versus Deadpool has an omnibus. There's a volume two of that first Deadpool series that picks up where the Joe Kelly run ends. There's a Deadpool Max omnibus. There's like a bunch of the... And I was thinking, yeah, maybe I'll get that. Maybe I'll get that. And after I saw the movie, I was like, nah, I probably don't need to buy all these.
Yeah.
Like, I like him as much as I feel like you and I like this character as much as we did after the movie that we did before the movie. But we both agree that this movie was well done.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the stuff that I think I really enjoy is like, you know, it's I believe this is the closest any... Other than, like, Christopher Reeve's Superman, this is the closest a character's ever looked to, like, they stepped off the comic book page.
He has white eyes.
He has white eyes. And that's...
You know how much I want a Batman with white eyes now? Because it looked so good.
And at this point, I would be... You know, whenever DC gets around to making an actual Batman movie with Ben Affleck or whatever, I would be shocked if he doesn't have white eyes after this.
Yeah, if he has a new costume.
Yeah, that kind of looks like this. Because I think this is kind of like... You know, I think it's going to do a lot to influence how comic book movies are made from now on, where we'll get more R-rated or at least hard PG-13 movies after this. I'm very interested Monday to read the absurd backlash I'm sure that's coming from this movie, because you could feel the discomfort of moms and dads who brought their kids to this movie in the theater. And I think that to me is like... You know what?
As a parent, it's your responsibility to say this is rated R. Like I said, I have a son who wants to see this, and I'm going to see it.
Right, but you did a sensible thing. Like, you went to go see it without your kid before just taking your kid to it. I was just blown away by the amount of kids that were in the theater with their parents with this movie, because it's like, you know, like I said, it's like... graphic nudity, and it's like there was the amount of dick jokes and masturbation jokes and fuck jokes and how many f-bombs are in this movie. I mean, it was,
for me, the breaking point of whether I would show this to my kids was the masturbation, because I feel like there is no way I could explain this
how
to an eight-year-old. It's like, it's one thing is like it's one thing where he shoots people and there's a hole in them, or, you know, he slices a sword and his head falls off. That's fun. I mean, Lord of the Rings does a lot of that,
right?
And, you know, and language, I'm like, he's heard every word that there is to say. He knows not to go to school and say it. I can handle that. And, you know, like, nudity, I'm like, I just try not to mention it if it goes by really quickly.
Yeah.
But, like, the sex scenes, there was, like, a fake sex scene in The X-Files a week or so ago.
Yeah.
And I felt uncomfortable watching it with it. And then, but even then, I'm just like, they're kissing and they're so crazy that they... took their clothes off, and he's 8. He doesn't like kissing scenes anyway, so he turns away. But I'm like, but there's a scene of Ryan Reynolds jerking off with a stuffed unicorn on his face.
Yeah,
there's no way to explain that.
Yeah, and then even like in the credits, there's like a cartoon Deadpool who jerks off a unicorn's
horn,
and then like it shoots a rainbow.
It ejaculates,
and it's like, all right, great, hilarious, funny. But I'm just looking around. There's, like, kids that are 8, 9 in the theater. I'm like, what the fuck is the car ride going to look like going home for these kids? I'm sure they're going to be kids. Or they'll be like, yeah, it was awesome at the blah, 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 gang, blah. But it's like, what the fuck are these parents thinking?
Well, that's
taking their kids to this movie when it's like, oh, he wants to see Deadpool. It's a superhero movie. And it's like, this is the problem. And we've talked on the show about it. We've had parents who complain about Deadpool, get mad at their kids because they're reading the Deadpool. But it's like... it's this, and it's like going to be the endless debate after this movie is like, what is Marvel doing marketing this character to kids? You know, should there be a PG-13 cut of this movie, which I think we all kind of agree is impossible. It's like, it's just such an, that's the thing I'm interested in the most. I think the reviews are going to be good. I think overwhelming people are going to like it, but I think it's the Monday morning backlash for this movie from parents groups and all this other stuff. They're going to be pissed off that they took their kids to go see this movie. And it's like, well, you're a shitty parent. You took your kid to go see this fucking movie that's rated R. Right. And it's like, you could have just gone online and checked.
And it's not the first movie to be rated R. Ryan Reynolds said that one of the things that paved the way for this movie was Kick-Ass doing well.
Yeah.
Like, here's a rated R movie that's based on a Marvel comic. It's not part of the Marvel Universe.
Right.
But it's a Mark Millar, John Romita Jr. comic, and it did well, and it was that's a hard R.
Yeah.
The Kingsman was another one like that, where it was Marvel, but
Wanted
not the Marvel
was
Universe.
Rated R, wasn't
Wanted,
it?
Yeah. And that was also what got Fox to greenlight it as an R movie, because
I mean,
they were like, well,
Blade movies were all rated R.
Blade movies were all rated R, but the Blade movies were so early.
Yeah.
They were before X-Men. They
yeah,
were
like kids who were in the theater weren't even born.
Yeah, but they were marketed as horror movies.
Yeah.
They did not play up the superhero angle at it at all. They didn't.
It wasn't until like the second
They did not
third
put
Blade.
Marvel front and center of it. They just sold it as a vampire movie.
Yeah.
So it's not the movie's fault if people go in. They said it was horror. There's a line in the beginning of the movie where he stabs a guy with the swords and it pauses and he goes, I know what you're thinking now. You're thinking, my boyfriend said this is a superhero movie, but that superhero turned that man into a kebab. And it totally addresses, this is the kind of movie we're going to be.
Yeah.
And you should have known this.
This is completely off topic, but still in the realm of the movie. At the end of the movie, they have like their big showdown with whoever that dopey bad guy was.
Ajax.
Yeah, Ajax, which was hilarious that they made fun of that name. Are they fighting on the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier?
That was really interesting, too, because this is a Fox movie.
Yeah.
So it cannot be connected to Avengers.
Yeah. But it looked an awful lot like the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier,
it
though.
It really did. Well, for a lot of it, it looked like an aircraft carrier. But there was a shot where when it tilts.
There were more than one shot.
When it tilts. I'm pretty sure I saw one of the engines fall off.
Yeah, that's why I kept saying, even when they first showed that thing, it was like, it had four pods, like, next to it, looking like...
Like the engines.
The engenes for the helicarrier, and I'm like, I lean to Carmel, I'm like, is that the fucking helicarrier? And he's like, oh my god, is that... It's like, we both had no idea.
And we know that Fox and Marvel don't get along, so it's not like a Sony Spider-Man thing where Marvel's like, yeah, go ahead, use the helicarrier, who cares?
Right, and I mean, it looked a little off. Like off model or whatever you want to call it, but it's like what the
But it
fuck
looked kind
else?
Of like an early design of the helicarrier. Like,
yeah, or like, and that's what I don't understand. It's like, what was that?
Maybe they just tried to cheat it in there.
Yeah, which is interesting. But I mean, you know, like I said, I think the person I'm most excited for is Ryan Reynolds, because like if this bombed, his career would kind of be over. I'd imagine
definitely.
And he's like I said, he's done the most, other than I think like Chris Reeve, of like really getting behind a character and really bringing that character to life and really like nailing it.
Yeah, because even Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, they eventually shifted Wolverine in the comics to be more like Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Because they kind of met him halfway.
Right, and it wasn't, he never, sure he looks like Wolverine even if he's like 2 feet too tall, but it's like, it's not, you know, he does a good job, but it's nowhere near like I think like the Chris Reeve or like Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. It's like, it was just, it's so perfect, the way the guy acted, everything, like the whole thing was just really, really well done. And that's speaking from a person who hates this character, but I know enough about him to know I'm like, yeah,
well, he's popular enough that he's been in books you read.
Right, he's kind of everywhere.
And I didn't know this. He's in the Avengers now?
He's in the Uncanny Avengers, yeah.
Okay.
It's the first Avengers book I dropped with the new Marvel Now as soon as I saw
it. Is that
the
one
lineup.
That also added Cable?
Yes, it is. So it was one less Avengers book I had to drop when Cable came
out. Yeah, it's in Spider-Man Deadpool. Spider-Man said he quit the Avengers because they let Deadpool join, and I had no idea because I only read Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's in the first issue that like the lineup is revealed, and Spider-Man tells Captain America, who's like old grumpy Captain America now for some reason.
Yeah, although he went from being like really old because he lost the super soldier serum.
Yeah.
He went from being really old and then like two issues later, he's Cable.
Yeah, they did him, when they first depower him, it's during, what's that guy's run? He wrote like Uncanny Avengers.
Not the John Romita run, right?
It is that run.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Rick Remender.
Remender. So during Remender's run, he depowers... he basically, like, a Asian villain, like, takes away the super soldier. So Captain America reverts to what he would look like if he never got the formula. So he's like a 94-year-old.
He's Stan Lee.
Pretty much. So then he's just supposed to be an old guy, and he's real frail and stuff. And then, like, somebody, I don't know who, I think Guggenheim maybe is writing the Uncanny Avengers. He draws him, and he's, like, jacked. So yeah. He's old, but he's, like, as fit as, like, he's just as if he's, like, an old Captain America.
He looks like Cable. Yeah. He just has white hair, and he's kind of grizzled.
Yeah, he's, like, grizzled. So it's, like, it's kind of weird. But yeah, Spider-Man's like, Cap, I'm not going to be on this team if Deadpool's on the team. And Cap's like, no, it's his time. He's ready to be an Avenger. And then Spider-Man's like, well, it's him or me. And Cap's like, we need him. And then Spider-Man leaves.
Yeah. And now they have to share a book together.
And now they're sharing a book together.
As I said it before, which is, it's hilarious. Because I take it you haven't read this book?
No, fuck no.
Spider-Man hates Deadpool so much.
Yeah.
That Spider-Man is the straight man in this book. And yes. He's still Spider-Man.
And I think that's interesting. It's, like, that's a nice
it's
dynamic.
So funny.
And I'll probably read the trade when it comes out. But
I recommend it.
It's sold out, so.
It's on my pull list.
Yeah.
Because
that's, like, the newest book you've added to your pull list in, like, 6 months.
Probably yeah, I that and Robin, but Robin was kind of Batman and Robin.
Right.
Which I was already reading.
Because you're not reading, like, all the other Spider-Man books.
I'm reading Amazing.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't read Silk or the Miles Morales.
The Miles Morales is good. I like
I've
that.
Heard good things, but I dropped Ultimate way before Miles showed up, so
yeah.
I feel like I'm so
That's
far
actually
behind.
When I picked it back up.
Yeah. Yeah, I got out of Ultimate, I think, when they decided to do the Clone Saga. I'm like, but this is the worst thing Spider-Man's ever done, so yeah. Why are we repeating this?
Like, Peter Parker was the Scorpion, but he was a clone. It was
Oh, I didn't even get that
so
far.
It was so bizarre.
But one of the things I really, really enjoyed about this movie, which surprised me, we were talking about Ryan Reynolds' performance, was how much he makes you care for him. Like, it's a really funny movie, and it's over the top, and it's cartoony, but when he suffers in this movie, and he suffers a lot,
yeah.
You actually really, really feel for him in a way I was not expecting. I was not expecting this movie to go as deep with this character.
Yeah, that I guess that was the most surprising thing about the movie, is you kind of just expect it to be like Jackass the movie with superpowers.
But when he's in what is essentially the Weapon X program.
Yeah.
Although I was surprised they kind of cut that Wolverine angle
yeah,
out.
Yeah. I guess I really did kind of expect them. I didn't expect them to tie it to Wolverine Origins because that was such a pile of shit.
Yeah, they want to ignore it.
And yeah,
but they didn't contradict anything in Wolverine Origins except the fact that he didn't have his mouth sewn shut. And,
yeah,
and
but they did make
Cyclops'
they
powers.
Made several jokes about that in the movie, and that's, you know, part of the charm of that character, I suppose, is like the repeated like breaking the fourth wall and the various in jokes. In fact, they're right in the beginning. The bar he goes to, he walks in and it sounds like he says "Huck Liefeld." Like I thought they were saying "fuck Liefeld." And I thought, like, oh, that's hilarious, because they named one of the guys in the bar, like, Liefeld.
Yeah, and there was a sign on the highway that said Nisienza Avenue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that's what I thought. Did they just say, like, Huck Liefeld, making it sound like they were saying fuck Liefeld? Because, like, that would be awesome. But I was actually surprised he didn't have a cameo in it.
Yeah, well, another one. Well, the thing about the Fox movies, I was surprised they were mentioned at all, because, you know, the Fox movies, for the most part, have... As I said, they don't have a great relationship with Marvel,
yeah.
So it's really up to the director. I mean, we saw Len Wein and Chris Claremont were in Days of Future Past, and Stan Lee's was in at least X-Men 1.
Where was Len Wein and Chris Claremont?
They were part of the congressional hearing that Bolivar Trask was talking to when he was first pitching the Sentinels in the beginning of that movie. They're two of the congressmen.
Hmm. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, Chris Claremont, like, shaved down to a mustache. He's, like, the bald guy with a white mustache. And yeah. Len Wein looks like Len Wein.
Yeah.
When you watch this movie again, you're going to feel really stupid.
Yeah, that I missed it before.
Len Wein's just Len Wein.
Yeah.
I think Len Wein doesn't get any lines, because Chris Claremont, like, was a theater guy initially, so I'm sure he wanted to
some
act
chops,
a little.
Yeah.
But traditionally they don't have a lot. And again, talking about last week's episode, Fabian hadn't seen the movie. He didn't know anything about it. And... at the last minute, they were invited to the premiere.
Yeah, and I think that's really... I mean, it's, you know, you kind of want to... Why the fuck wouldn't they be at the premiere? You know what I mean? It's like, there's no movie.
Two more seats, really? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You can't spare two seats for the two guys that started the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not a super-duper Liefeld fan, but it's like, you should probably get to go see his movie about the fucking thing he drew when he was 12 years old.
Yeah, they seem pretty happy about it.
Yeah.
As we said, we'll get Cable next.
Well, and it's something cool where it's like, you know, so this kind of guarantees, like, we'll get Cable and Deadpool. They'll make the X-Force movie. It's like...
Right, and I'm sure they'll put Deadpool in the X-Force movie because...
He'll be starring in it, I'm sure.
Right, well, nobody... Because still, at this point, they announced it about a year ago. No one knows what team it's going to be. Like, yeah. It could be the Wolverine, Psylocke, Archangel, Deadpool team. It could be Cable and Cannonball and Warpath and Domino. We don't know. It could be Dupe.
Yeah, I'd assume at this point it'll probably be something akin to, like, Suicide Squad, you know, where it's going to be, like, you know...
A more extreme X-Men.
Not only extreme, but it'll be just a hodgepodge, you know, it'll have the most successful elements and, like, maybe two new guys.
And maybe that's part of it. Maybe they're waiting to see how Suicide Squad does
before
they decide which way to go. Because that's coming out this summer.
Yeah.
Which actually has a better release date than Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, and I guess it's actually supposed to take place before.
Well, Batman's supposed to have a cameo in it.
Like, yeah.
I think in the beginning, we're supposed to see Joker and Harley, like, in a car chase before they get arrested, and Batman's supposed to be in that scene.
Yeah.
And I think, and I'm not sure, and obviously things can change, but I'm not sure if Ben Affleck is in it or if they just have a stunt man in Ben Affleck's suit.
I'd assume it's Ben Affleck, yeah.
Probably two lines.
Yeah. But enough to know it's him, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, I was surprised Fox pulled this one off.
Well, this is truly, truly for the fans, but it wasn't just fan service. It was,
but it's so crazy. Cause I'd say it's like, I can't imagine a fan of Deadpool not being like over the moon with this movie.
No, but also, my wife doesn't know anything about Deadpool. And I asked her in the car, I said, do you know anything about Deadpool? She goes, no. She's like, I know you guys have talked about him. I know what he looks like.
Yeah.
I know because there's toys around the house. And I saw Wolverine Origins, but you're telling me it doesn't have anything to do with that. So I really don't. I don't know what his powers are. I don't know what his origin is. Yeah. I don't know anything. I said, then I'm not going to tell you because this movie is supposed to introduce the character. It's supposed to ignore origins.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be the comic fan who's like, well, in New Mutants 98, he was this and he can teleport. But I don't know if they're going to do that. I was like, let's just go in and see it.
Yeah.
And she really enjoyed it. So you don't have to be a fan to like this movie.
Yeah.
You have to like rated R movies. And
yeah.
Luckily, I have a wife whose favorite show is The Walking Dead.
Right, yeah. And so it's kind of like...
And we're obsessed with the X-Files comeback. Yeah. So she loved that.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, I guess that's kind of what I'm interested to see is like... You know, like, the fans, it's definitely a movie, like I said, I'd be shocked if you could find a Deadpool fan that doesn't like this movie.
Yeah, because it does what Deadpool does.
Right.
If you like that...
You'll love this.
Yeah, what more could you want from it? It even has X-Men in it, and it didn't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually kind of something where it's like, it's interesting that they put... I mean, it was like the same mansion, the Blackbird, it's like they reference the X-Men. It's like, it's interesting that they put them in there when it's like... You probably they didn't need to be in the movie. Colossus didn't have to get in a fight with that weird muscle girl, and like the other teenage girl didn't even have to be in it.
Yeah, I still don't know Gina Carano, who plays the muscle girl. I still don't know what her name was. Like, because you know I'm an ex.
Oh, I think it was Match. That's why she kept like,
because
having
she kept
doing magic.
Because that seemed like just an affectation to get him out of that trap.
Yeah.
But I couldn't. In my memory, I couldn't tie her back to any character. And well, I was a hardcore X-Men fan in the 80s and 90s, and it's possible. You know, there were a bunch of characters in X-Men First Class that I didn't know who they were, and then I looked them up, and they were in runs that I didn't read. But it seems odd that a major henchman character would just be some character they made up when there's thousands of X-Men characters.
Yeah, well, like the main guy, what was his name again? The English
Ajax. He is in the Deadpool series. And I think he's a combination. As we were saying before, they had to combine characters to save on actors' salaries to get this made.
Yeah.
There are two characters. There's a story in the Joe Kelly and McGinnis run where he does try to assassinate the doctor who is responsible for putting him in the Weapon X program.
Yeah.
But that character was just like a middle-aged German scientist who...
Yeah,
like,
as they all are.
Yeah, who couldn't physically do anything to Deadpool. And then there is a character named Ajax that's super strong that Deadpool fights. So I think, I'm sure at some point in the script, they were two characters.
Yeah.
Like a James Bond
kind of right, thing. Right, yeah, like the dopey...
The mastermind and the henchman.
The thug, yeah.
Yeah, but I think they combined them into two, and then they were just like, hey, let's take Gina Carano, who is, you know, last year's Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
And just put, you know, because she's an ultimate fighter who's attractive.
They, you know what? They probably wanted Ronda Rousey, and they're like, we can't afford her. You know? Because yeah. Well, we lost $7 million from our budget.
Yeah, maybe they downgraded. Although I think Ronda Rousey, I feel like that was like 6 months ago. So I feel like they would have shot it by the time she really popped.
Yeah, I know. So she's still pretty popular.
Gina Carano is one of those where she made a couple of action movies, and everybody was like, she's going to be the next best thing. And then I realized in this movie, she
doesn't have like any lines.
I feel like they cut around her. There is a shot of Ajax talking to her where she's in the background and blurred out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how many takes did you do with her
before
you decided, you know what, let's just blur her out and cut her lines.
Yeah.
We all want to go home.
That's awesome.
Acting's not that easy.
Yeah, it's not as easy as they make it look.
On the flip side, Marina Baccarin is great in everything.
She's the wife?
Vanessa, yeah.
Yeah, she was in Homeland, and she was great in that.
She was in Firefly and Serenity.
Yeah.
She's great in that. And she's on Gotham now, and she is one of the best things about Gotham.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as much as I hate watch Gotham.
She's one of the best things about it.
She's great, and they brought her in the middle of the season.
Yeah, she's not bad to look at.
No, she's not bad to look at all. And she's gotten more attractive as she's gotten older. I think she's better looking than she was on Firefly.
Yeah, the only thing I think I saw her was V.
She was in V, yeah. She was
like
alien
an alien lizard monster.
You've never seen Firefly, huh?
I've seen enough of it to know she's in it.
All right.
She's like the wife or strange wife.
Yeah, it's so hard to get you into hour-long sci-fi shows.
Yeah, part of like not getting a Serenity is like... Fuck people that really like that show. they're such like little pricks.
they like it too much?
They like it so much.
They really like it so much.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it as much as they like it.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, Dave and all these other guys like really get behind it. It's like,
They're still talking about it. I saw a meme this week.
Is it the Bernie Sanders?
Yes.
One? Yeah.
Bernie Sanders says, if elected, more seasons of Firefly.
Yeah, there's like dozens of those going around where it's like him and Hillary, and it'll be like subject, and it'll be like, you know, like Serenity. And Bernie Sanders will be like, well, it was really well thought out, blah, blah, blah. And he goes on and on. And then Hillary's like, tries to make a joke, but isn't like hip or something, or has no idea what she's talking about. And it's like, it's a little out of control, the amount of memes that are coming out.
There's a lot of music ones. I think Jazz was like, there was a paragraph of Bernie Sanders was like, I think Miles Davis really hit his peak in the late 60s. And then Hillary was like, I like Kenny G.
Yeah.
they're all basically that joke.
And it's like different variations on it. And they're hilarious. You know, that's the internet's producing a lot of good material.
Yeah. There's a lot of free content out there.
There is. So, yeah, I mean, I guess so. It's like, well, the sequel's already greenlit.
Yes.
Do they have a year for that yet?
No. In fact, the director's not locked down. I think the writers and Ryan Reynolds are signed to it. The director is not, but they want him to come back. So I think they're talking to him. And then my guess is it'll probably have a bigger budget because it did so well that I really thought that post-credit sequence when he's doing the Ferris Bueller. I know they were completely copying the Ferris Bueller shot, so there's a door in the center of that frame.
Yeah.
And that's how it is in Ferris Bueller, and that's why it's there.
Right, right.
But I really thought when he's like, we don't have any money. What do you expect? Samuel Jackson, come out with an eye patch? And then I really thought he was just going to go, oh, we have this. I thought he was going to open that door, and Hugh Jackman was just going to pop his head out and go, hey, I'm Wolverine, and then just go back in the door.
Yeah.
I really thought that was going to happen. I was a little disappointed that didn't, because Hugh Jackman is in First Class for 2 seconds.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised they didn't do a Hugh Jackman cameo, and I know they did, like, the magazine cover with him, and then, like, Deadpool wears his, like, little face.
Yes,
you know,
he does,
which is like,
which is actually stapled to his head.
Yeah,
did you see that? There's like a staple in the middle of his forehead
and
on his chin.
Yeah, it was gross.
Yeah, I did like his burnt up makeup. I thought,
yeah, he looked horrific.
He looked horrific, but it wasn't over the top. It wasn't Spawn.
Yeah,
and that's one of the things I worry about, because when they first showed him without the mask, which was a couple of years after he was created. Spawn was the biggest thing going. And
yeah.
I remember getting that first issue where you saw him with his mask off, and I'm like, oh, he's Spawn. He's just Spawn.
Yeah.
And going back to Michael J. White as Spawn, it's not that makeup.
Yeah, and it's like, Deadpool is like what Carnage would look like if he ever formed a scab.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so it's like, it is interesting the way they did it where it wasn't too crazy overdone.
It was horrific to look at, but it was also light enough where you could see it was Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, you could it still was like, see it was him.
Yeah, it wasn't one of those where everyone who saw him knew it was Wade Wilson. They weren't like, oh, it's a monster. And he was like, wait, it's me. It's Deadpool. Like, everybody who saw him, they're just like, oh, horrible things happen to you.
Yeah, and, it, you know, everyone making jokes about it, and, like, it's just pretty much like...
Yeah, T.J. Miller had some really good lines.
Is that the Weasel character?
Yes, the Weasel character who's also on Silicon Valley.
Yeah, I've seen him in a couple things.
He pops up in stuff.
They had Bob the Hydra agent in this movie.
Really, really briefly, yes.
Yeah,
but he wasn't Hydra, no, because Hydra is Marvel Studios.
Yeah, which is, like, so it's stuff like that where it's, like, you know, people who've read the comic or whatever will really kind of dig it.
Yeah, Blind Al serves no purpose in this movie, but she's there and she's funny.
Who?
The blind woman.
Yeah, that he moves.
She's part of the Joe Kelly and McGinnis run. Yeah, and in that book, there's a great story with her because in that book, she's a hostage.
Yeah.
That, like, she's someone he took hostage and never let her go, and no one ever paid for her. So then she just ends up being his roommate. But then there's a really dark story about, like, what would happen to her if she tried to leave.
Yeah.
Like, because there's a story in that where Weasel, like, uses Deadpool's teleporter. Which I'm very glad they didn't do the teleporting thing in this movie.
Yeah, it would be too much. Yeah, I would assume we're going to get it in the next one. Like, it'll be something Cable will give them, and they'll be like, it's a future thing.
Yeah, I think Cable's going to show up with everything.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be Cyborg and glowing eyes. He's probably going to come from the future.
He's going to have a big fucking gun.
Yeah, but he's also a great straight man for Deadpool.
Yeah.
He's going to be a better straight man for Deadpool than Colossus.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of like... It's going to be that much better having somebody to play off that'll be a major character in the movie versus, like, oh, we need a guy who's a big straight guy.
Yeah, because I agree with you. The X-Men didn't need to be in it. Why do you think they put them in it?
I don't know. I mean, they didn't have to. Maybe to tie it into X-Men, so... I
think they were hedging their bets?
Maybe hedging their bets, so they're like, look, if people don't like it, at least if, you know, we can maybe sneak him into the X-Men movies and it won't be too contrived.
This is a way to get X-Men fans to come and see it.
Yeah, maybe to make it look like it's a bigger superhero movie.
And, you know, everybody wants to be Marvel.
Right.
So it's like, oh, it's all interconnected. And one of the things they said, as I mentioned, Ryan Reynolds pointed to Kick-Ass being one of the reasons it got made.
Yeah.
He also pointed to Guardians of the Galaxy, where he said, look, all these movies don't all have to have the same tone. This movie's a big hit, and it's just a weird space comedy.
Movie, yeah.
This violent comedy superhero movie we were doing, maybe it'll make money.
Yeah.
So,
and the early reviews are good.
The reviews are great. It has an 81 on Rotten Tomatoes, right?
Yeah.
And it, like I said, it made $45 million last night.
Yeah.
Which is the biggest opening for an R-rated movie, and which I find more surprising, the biggest opening for any of the X-Men movies.
What?
Yes. Bigger than, say, X-Men 2.
What?
This made more money than any X-Men movie in its opening
day. Days of Future Past?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
That is shocking.
I know. I think the date might have something to do with it. There's nothing else out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's Zoolander 2, which I hear is terrible.
Yeah, well, you know, why did they make a sequel to a 10-year-old movie?
Yeah, well, they did it with Anchorman.
And that wasn't good either.
No, I kind of like Anchorman. I feel like... We were going to do a whole podcast on it, and then we saw it, and we were like, nah.
Yeah.
Anchorman, I felt like, at least had a bunch of good jokes in it, but I heard Zoolander doesn't even have that.
Yeah.
Comedy sequels don't work. I mean, give me a comedy sequel that's as good as the first one.
There is none. Every comedy sequel I've seen is awful.
Yeah,
because... And it's like, because the original concept for the and it's weird how many comedies get sequels when they don't do well. And it's like, maybe they're just that cheap to make because you don't need any, like, effects or anything.
You're paying actors more than anything else. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't understand why they keep getting made, but it's like, I don't know one good comedy sequel.
No, I mean, I can point to sci-fi comedy series, but even those, Ghostbusters 2 is terrible, Men in Black 2 is terrible, Men in Black 3 is good, but the problem with comedy sequels, in my opinion, is that when you have an action sequel, How do you top that first one? Well, let's spend more money on it. Let's have bigger action.
Yeah.
You know, let's go to more exotic places. With a comedy sequel, how do you make it funnier?
Try to be funnier.
When you're essentially telling the same joke again. And as you know, more you tell a joke, the less funny it is.
Right, and I think that's the real trick of it, is like every comedy sequel is just rehashing the same material.
Yeah, so even Austin Powers aren't that good. And I remember seeing the first Austin Powers, and I was like, he could make six of these things. Because there's 20 Bond movies and you could just keep pulling from this.
Yeah.
But, you know, those sequels aren't that good.
Yeah, it's like they, you know, maybe the second Austin Powers, because it's like Fat Bastard.
But it's not as good as that first one.
Yeah, it's not as good. I think it's successful, but it's like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and most of my stuff, I never saw the other Hangover movies.
Yeah, I think I saw the second one like a year or two after it got made and it was awful.
Yeah, I heard.
So it's like, and that's probably like the most Hangover's probably the most successful comedy they've done recently.
Yeah,
right?
And I think the sequels were the most successful comedy sequels, which is crazy because it's so built on a premise that they have to
that
repeat
more
the
than
same.
Most.
It's
yeah.
not the characters. It's not like Ace Ventura. Which,
right.
Also, that second Ace Ventura was not good.
No, it wasn't.
But Ace Ventura is built on, hey, here's this character.
Right.
Which is why I thought Anchorman would be good, because I was like, well, everybody's kind of doing a character and all those characters are strong and all those guys are still really funny and everything else.
You're talking about making a third Anchorman where he like fights the internet. It's like, it sounds awful.
But you tell me that and I want to see it. And I don't like every Will Ferrell movie, but I
guess. Yeah, I don't really like Will Ferrell.
I like him. I didn't like him initially, but I grew to like him. I didn't like him on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, well, I liked his... The cowbell, that was always good. That's like one skit.
That was funny, yeah.
One out of 100 or 1,000 or whatever he did.
Yeah. Yeah, and Anchorman's the one of his movies I really, really like. I like him in things, though. Like, if he shows up in something else.
As long as he's not like the main character, I can tolerate him, I feel.
Maybe. Well, then that leads us to not get so off topic. Since there is going to be a Deadpool 2, since Deadpool, I could see Deadpool very much now, kind of moving into this place that we know Hugh Jackman is going to vacate out of. Hugh Jackman keeps talking about his next movie is Old Man Logan. Then he's done. He's not making X-Men movies anymore because he's getting too old.
Yeah.
Because the same thing with like where Robert Downey Jr. doesn't want to do Iron Man movies anymore. But, you know, he can be in Avengers where he's just like walking around eating chips and being snarky.
Yeah.
And then you have a CG Iron Man going around. You can't do that with Wolverine. He's right. Got to be jacked up with his shirt off and punching guys. So, you know, I believe Hugh Jackman's going to retire before Robert Downey will.
Yeah.
But I could see the franchise starting to look to Deadpool to keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's kind of the idea Fox had was, you know, by putting X-Men in this movie is like you said, it's hedge our bets, show that it's an X-Men movie. Hugh Jackman's on his way out. If it does good, we can carry him. If not, we can just bury it.
So what do you think this means for the X-Men franchise with this movie being so successful? Not only what is Deadpool going to be, what is X-Force going to be, but what's going to happen to X-Men after Apocalypse now that Deadpool is a major force in this franchise.
Yeah.
But rated R.
I think the X-Men Apocalypse movie is going to leave open the idea that either Apocalypse can come back or we can start coming up with storylines with either Apocalypse or Sinister, something darker where it would require X-Force. The next, obviously, Deadpool movie is going to be Deadpool and Cable. Possibly introduce more of X-Force, or maybe even introduce X-Force. The following movie will for sure be an X-Force movie, and I think we might be done with X-Men movies for a while. We might just transition into doing X-Force now.
So you think we'll get Deadpool? You think we'll get Deadpool 2 before X-Force?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you do 3, so you do Deadpool, Cable, X-Force, and then probably another Deadpool movie.
So kind of like Iron Man, where Iron Man was Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2 Avengers.
I think this would be a good opportunity for Fox to start, you know, transitioning away from the X-Men type of movies they have been doing and start doing movies centered around Deadpool as your center character. Because, you know, Ryan Reynolds could be 50 or 60 and still do Deadpool. Think about it. He's got to have a scarred, ugly face. Who's ever in that Deadpool suit with the red jumping around, it's not maybe even Ryan Reynolds. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's either CGI or it's a stunt guy doing parkour.
Like, right. Like, because he's totally covered.
Right.
Like I said, the thing about Wolverine.
He's got to run around with a shirt off.
Yeah, and Wolverine, this frustrates me as a comic fan. How many has he made? 7? If you count his first class, you count his first class cameo? He's done 4 X.
I think it's like 9.
No, I think it's 7 because he's done 4 X-Men movies. a cameo in another one. There's been 5 X-Men movies, and he's in all of them. And he's done 2 Wolverine movies.
So we'll do 8 total.
So we'll do 6. Yeah, he's going to do Old Man Logan. Nobody seems to know if he's in Apocalypse or not.
Yeah, I think...
because Apocalypse takes place in the 80s.
I think I heard a thing that said he is not in this X-Men Apocalypse movie.
Which makes sense, because in 2000 is when he meets the X-Men.
Right.
So it's one thing to have him in the 70s and you erase his mind. And of course that changes the timeline, but it's another thing to have him running around in the 80s. But I do think it's a missed opportunity, especially now seeing how well Deadpool looked in the outfit. Was we've never had Wolverine wear a mask in 7 movies?
And I wouldn't be surprised if we get it in Old Man Logan, because they teased it in the last Wolverine movie. People went kind of crazy for it. I think amongst the things that Deadpool is going to influence is people being more comic accurate, or at least I would hope more comic accurate in the costumes without being too silly. You know, the Negasonic Teenage Warhead had an X-Men first class uniform on.
Yeah, she had a yellow and black uniform.
Yellow and black.
If you go back to that first X-Men movie, they look like the Matrix, because that's what had sold.
Yeah, and I think we're getting away from that. We're getting to something that's a little bit closer to the core with still being quote-unquote like militaristic or whatever you want to call it. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do get a Wolverine in a costume closer to his roots, you know, probably like a black and brown, if I had to guess, something like X-Men Evolution had. You know, in the X-Men Apocalypse trailer, Psylocke is wearing a costume that looks very much like her bullshit ninja costume.
Purple Jim Lee.
Yeah, and it's like, so it's, you know, it seems like everything's kind of moving towards that. They're finally finding the happy balance that, you know, between the Spider-Man movies and the ridiculous Matrix X-Men nonsense.
Right, yeah, because going back, it's funny, those movies were coming out at the same time, and those movies could not be more different. The Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies and the Bryan Singer X-Men.
And I think those are the two ends of the spectrum. You know, you got the one that's super close to the comic, and then you got the one
that's like a little too cartoony at times.
And then you got the one that's kind of the opposite end of it. You know, look at what they've done with Captain America, where that first Captain America movie, it's very practical. In the Avengers, everyone said it's kinds of silly. In Age of Ultron, it seems like they found the mark. They found the suit.
It looks like Civil War is not tweaked very much.
Not even at all, I'd say. I think it almost looks identical to Age of Ultron.
And Age of Ultron, he's kind of wearing his Winter Soldier suit with just
some red.
The red to make it red, white, and blue again. Yeah, that's interesting how in Marvel, that's true, Spider-Man and X-Men have been the two extremes in tone, and I think that center spot right in the middle is Avengers.
Yeah.
And I think because Avengers, nothing's topped that in terms of money. Certainly not in superheroes. Yeah, Force Awakens has gone past it, but Force Awakens is doing Star Wars.
Right.
I think we're going to get stuff that's closer and closer to Avengers. So my last question for you is, how are you going to feel when the trailer for Deadpool 2 comes out?
And we see Cable?
Yeah, knowing now... Same exact people involved in Deadpool in this first one.
Yeah.
Making another movie.
What
are you going to think? But yeah, you're going to see more Deadpool with probably a bigger budget and Cable. How are you going to feel about going to that movie? Because you have to to do this podcast.
Yeah. And it'll probably be a lot of how I'm feeling now, where it's a very strange feeling to even be a little excited to see that movie and to be a little salty that it's Cable and Deadpool.
Well, I really...
Salty would be the word I would use. I'd be
I
a little salty
really,
about it.
Really look forward to having that salty conversation in a couple of years. But until then, you can follow me at Not On My Book on Twitter. That is the Caffeinated Comics Facebook feed. Not the Facebook feed. It's a Twitter feed. I'm not editing that out because I want you to know how dumb I am.
Yeah, it's late, though.
The Facebook page is a Caffeinated Comics, and that's where we post all the news. That's where we post trailers when they come out, and news events, and stupid memes about Deadpool. My favorite one this week, which actually Fabian clicked like on. Did you see they had the shot from Wolverine Origins of Logan and
ugly
that
weird
Deadpool? Yeah, and it said have a Snickers.
Yeah,
and then they photoshopped Deadpool in his suit, and it said you feel better. Every time I look at that, I love it. Usually I look at a meme once and I'm done with it.
Yeah, I don't know how everyone on the internet manages to be so clever, but I'm glad
there's a lot of people on the internet.
I guess.
And basically,
it's not one guy, huh?
Let's put it this way. If everyone on the internet was clever one time,
yeah,
you'd still get like 1,000 things a day.
Yeah, that's true.
You can also listen to us on, you can subscribe on iTunes and, or subscribe on Stitcher if you don't like iTunes. If you don't like any type of podcast app, you can go directly to caffeinatedcomics.blogspot.com and listen to every episode we've done. I forget how many there are.
Over 150, I think.
All I really remember is our first episode was on The Hobbit on an Unexpected Journey because it came out that week. So anything that's happened since 2012...
We've pretty much covered everything worth covering, we've covered.
And if you want to buy a lot of Deadpool merchandise...
You can find it at 19 South of Grange Road at Camaras Comics.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!